Today we're going to be talking about social media. In the last 16 years, it's kind of taken over our world. I think it was 2004, Mark Zuckerberg founded a website called Facebook. And by the end of that year, there were 1 million users. Now there's 1.1 billion users. The fastest growing demographic in that is women who are the age of 55 to 65, probably to show off the grandkids and those types of things.
Dude, how do you know that?
How do I know?
How do you know that?
Because I can read. oh,
you Googled type, it, huh?
Type. Yeah.
That internet tells you all kinds of fun things.
The Google tells you these types of things. So we're going to talk about it. What does really God say about social media? Obviously, it doesn't specifically talk about social media, but I think there's some things in there that we can surmise out of the scripture that we need to be careful with social media. But it's not evil in and of itself to be on or be a part of social media. Nate, are you a part of social media?
I can count on one hand how many times I've been on social media in the past year. Yeah.
Dude, but we're friends.
We are friends.
Friends.
Yeah, we are. Got lots of friends on social media.
I love your profile picture, too, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
My beach shot with no gel in my hair. And
yeah, you look younger now than you do in that picture from 10 years ago.
That's true. Just the gray hair, man.
It happens. So you're not on there a ton?
No, I'm not.
Why or why not?
Mainly, it's just such a – I think I could spend a lot of time on there and not be very productive. Yeah, I have a hard time navigating the thing, and I'm just like, eh, I've not spent the time to really figure it all out. Yeah, I just – unless I'm trying to communicate with people who I haven't seen in a long time or trying to get in touch with them, I rarely get on it. So – but yeah, it's been useful for getting in touch with some of my college buddies and finding out, you know, what are they up to and how's life and where they're at now. And so I've been able to reconnect with a few of my friends that way. But yeah, besides that, I don't really use it much.
Do you know what Twitter is?
Yes.
Instagram?
Yes.
Are you on the Twitter?
No, I think it'd be
you
fun.
You are what you tweet.
I think it'd be fun to have a Twitter account and just tweet random things and yeah, see what happens. But
so,
I don't know.
So I had to get a Twitter account for seminary. Yeah. And it was interesting, but I mean, I can see how it can suck you in and just keep you're occupied with your time. And you're like, oh, I got to see if somebody liked my tweet or retweeted what I said. Nice. And it was kind of an experiment, like one the professor wanted us to really engage, like follow some people just to see if it was an effective ministry tool, but then also see what it did. Like we didn't know it at the time, but he wanted to see what it did to you. How did you respond? Did it pull you in? Was it something that became a time waster for you? So that part was really interesting. But
like
as far
guinea pigs.
Yeah, a pseudo guinea pig. But I think all of social media is sort of a social experiment that we're all kind of guinea pigs, right? We know that there are some harmful things that come out of it. We can see that, especially in our young people. We can see it in ourselves when I sit and I'm like, oh, I got to check something. Somebody sent me a message, and half an hour later, I'm like, where did my time go? And I didn't even check my message. It can produce a lot of ill-intended side effects, I think. And you can speak to that. You are part of running the youth group here, so you might see some of that firsthand.
Yeah, one of the things that I see is just this preoccupation with posting stuff or trying to get likes and, yeah, wanting to really gather the approval of their peers and always having that on the back of their mind, which is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're constantly looking for the perfect video to go viral or whatever.
Well, and it's not even just the youth, right? Like we see that in adults. Like you can't go anywhere to a party, family function, whatever until you're snapping the selfie or going Facebook Woo-hoo. Live.
Yeah. What's interesting to me about social media is people's tweets, people's posts, people's updates really reveal their worldview. I use social media, but a lot of times I'm just kind of watching and seeing how people are responding to things or what they're posting. And you can really see kind of where their worldview comes out of, kind of the framework of their assumptions and their foundations and their presuppositions and all of the things that kind of go into making whatever posts. You see that in the political worldviews and how people are communicating in those things. I think for connecting with people, celebrating family functions, throwing up a picture so grandma can see, I think it's really helpful and positive, and there's a lot of good that comes out of social media. You guys have identified one is the self-absorption of or approval of man that you can gain from that. I also think that there's a problem when it comes to how we speak to each other on social media. You'll see people talking harshly about the president, and you can like the president or not like the president. But if he was standing in the room, most of us would not go, "You're a fool," to his face. And so there is this tension, and I think we treat each other poorly because we can, and we hide behind our computers, we hide behind our screens and our typing in order to do this. Yeah. And the scripture actually talks a ton about this.
Well, it's kind of like we're sitting in our cars and you can communicate everything with the drivers around you. Maybe that's just me, Nate. Nate and I went for a ride today, and yeah, it's always an adventure with me. But it's like it just breaks down that barrier of like any kind of care for other people's feelings or other people's perspectives. It's just like I'm ready to, I've got my verbal guns drawn and I'm ready to unleash.
Yeah, Proverbs talks a ton about this, and it says, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. And I think how we communicate and how we speak on there, and that's partially why I don't do it a ton, and usually it's an update of a family thing or something like that, but it's not kind of my opinions. I have opinions on lots of things, but not all my opinions need to be shared or should be shared.
Well, it's not a good forum for discussion, right? It seems like if you do try to share an opinion, it almost ends up being more of a shouting match or who can.
Yeah, you get the attack and it's like, well, it's my wall. I have the freedom to say what I want to on my wall. And then it's like, but you're not listening to anybody else. And why can't they say what they want to? You don't engage in a kind civil discourse at all.
I had this experience not too long ago where I had read the article, and I think this is another thing people do. They just repost other people's words, which I don't really care about what other people. I can look up and find those things. I want to know what you were kind of thinking. But this person happened to have an article, and they posted their thoughts on the article. Basically, it came off like if you didn't agree with their opinion of the article, then you were intellectually dishonest. And I thought, man, that's really harsh, because I read the same article. I didn't come to the same conclusions, and there were some issues that I saw within it. But I was really actually struggling through trying to think, what does this actually mean? And so it was a friend, and so I IM'd them, instant messaged them. I didn't put anything on their wall. I didn't think the public needed to know that there was a disagreement.
You took away all of our joy and entertainment. Yeah. There. Pop the popcorn and sit back and watch the sparks.
You know, and so we had this IM conversation, and we're going to get together for coffee because I actually want to hear, like, why is he so sure about the things that he said? And because while some of them I agree with, I'm not as sure as he is. So we're going to have coffee and have a conversation about it. And I think that's one of the things is that social media makes you feel like you're connected to people, but you're actually really not connected to people. You're just making an opinion on some of their posts, where a cup of coffee, sitting down, having a conversation, you are literally connected. You literally have a human connection.
Yeah, and you see some of that with I'm not trying to brag on the millennials at all, but that was one of the things that comes out with them study after study, the most connected generation, but yet they are lacking relationships.
Yeah. And they're lonely, and they're
because
they're it's a
handheld relationship.
Yeah, you're like watching a sitcom. Like I used to watch Friends quite a bit. They weren't really my friends, but you know, Chandler and I, we kind of got along. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, 24/7 you're connected. You take away any ability really to have these social interactions where you actually have to sit in front of somebody and communicate with them, read body language because it's just all text. And that has some ramifications to it. People don't know how to be bored anymore. I think if I go somewhere and I have to sit, the first thing I find myself doing, grabbing my cell phone. And oh, no text messages. Next is email. Oh, nothing on the email. Maybe my kids still have one of their games downloaded on there. But then the next thing I'm like, well, I'll just jump on Facebook or something and check it out. See if there's something I can do because I can't stand being bored anymore or talking to somebody that's a stranger. It's just abnormal for us now.
Yeah.
And that's a social media ramification.
And it's somewhat intimidating, right? To have a face-to-face conversation where you're looking at someone else's eyeballs and, Oh no, what do I say? I don't know. And so, yeah, having some of those skills and just being able to strike up conversations with people, it's kind of lacking. And we really don't want to, right? Cause when we get on our phones, we can follow the whims of our next thought.
I think on social media also that there is this, when I write, I am way more direct than when I actually speak to you in person. And, you know, the scriptures talk about the fruits of the spirit. You know, the fruits of the spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And yeah. And so like for me, when I write, I'm like, okay, well, this is what I'm thinking. And it's so direct. It lacks that emotional connection. It lacks actually what I'm trying to communicate. It becomes about my opinion in this thing instead of that dialogue portion of it. And I think it often lacks, for me anyway, it sometimes lacks those fruits of the spirit. Like I'm not thinking in that direction. I'm just thinking about like the words they said and what is the counter argument to that. Like sometimes people say things and they're just flat out wrong, right? But social media allows you to be disconnected. And I think that's part of the problem. But if we were having a conversation, there was a connection before I tried to correct.
Well, and part of the problem with the communication side of it, without being face to face, you do not have that body language stuff. Like I can say some things and I can write some things, and what I said and what I wrote can be taken very differently because you're not seeing the voice inflection. You're not seeing my facial expression. You're not seeing tone of voice is right. Huge. And then we're just going to jump into a fist fight because of what I wrote versus what I actually meant and how I would have said it in person.
Right. Well, and just thinking about people as image bearers of God. Like when I'm writing, I for some reason, when they're standing in front of me, I see image bearer. This is someone who's deeply loved by God type of a thing. But when I'm writing, I'm like, that's just it. Like I'm really attacking the opinion. And I think that becomes a problem. The other part of that is not only realizing that it may or may not be a follower of Jesus. In a follower of Jesus, Jesus like paid it all for them. They, you know, he shed his blood for them. And this is a blood bought son or daughter of the Most High. And I'm treating him like garbage, through my quick texting fingers. And I think that we have to be careful within that.
Well, and there's a danger on the other side of that too. If we're going to beat people with our Jesus club over our social media, You know, we're not going to change anybody's mind about our political views. We're probably not going to change anybody's mind about their religious faith views based on an article that we're going to repost or regurgitate somebody's tweet or things like that. Like, and it's just a place that seems to cause friction and fighting over those ideas.
What are the good things though about social media? One of the things that I think is like as an organization, I'm horrible about celebrating, but we have people who are, that's their job is to kind of post for us kind of some of the celebrations that what God is doing. And so I think for that, it kind of actually showcases the goodness of God. And I think that's a really positive thing when you're posting something that is positive, this is what's happening type of thing. It's not, it's really neutral in some ways. It's not against anybody, but like this happened. We had this, you know, we had this social event or this was, you know, this is our worship service thing. So for us, I think that it's a really powerful tool of celebration.
Yeah. And just getting the word out about what's going on too, that part of social news aspect of it. You know, you have an event, you can get it out. You have, like, I think back when we were having kids, that was a great place to let your family know. My wife and I were having our kids it was a great place to let your family and friends know that maybe you weren't super connected with anymore. But,
yeah,
you know, you celebrate those things. Like you said, it's exciting and it's easier to post something on your wall and have your friends, however many followers, whatever you have, mm-hmm. versus making that 10, 20, 30, 800 phone calls and text messages. Like there's that part of it that's cool. My parents can see pictures easier. My mom can show my grandparents stuff.
Yeah.
That's the good part of it. The staying connected.
It's easier to connect with people who maybe weren't able to participate in events, whether it's, you know, here at the church where we post a few pictures of how the baptism event went, mm-hmm. or even if it's, you know, family stuff where Johnny's 7th birthday and who was there and some of those things that grandma wants to keep up on. It's really good for those things and can help keep informed people. And so we are a little more connected in that sense. And so, it allows for the times when we can reconnect in a more direct way to have, hey, I saw those pictures on Facebook. That looked great. And
yeah,
was Johnny happy with his gift that I gave him? And
no, he
all
wasn't.
That stuff, right? And no, yeah, he didn't like the knitted sweater, but yeah.
You're so, knitting again?
Yeah.
Well, that just made me think
of a new hobby.
That's good. That's good to keep your mind sharp that way. Lifelong learner there. It made me think of back when we had the Father's Day flood. Facebook was a huge tool for the Volunteer Resource Center, mm-hmm. because the information comes out instantaneously and people are getting notifications right away. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can spread the message locally pretty quick. It may not hit that – what was the word that you used? Epidemic. No. What did you say, Levi?
What?
You used the word for when you're – viral. It may not go viral, but in your local community trying to get the word out, viral is a good – term, I guess, for that, because you can, like, we needed XYZ shovels, buckets, boom, people knew about it, they were grabbing stuff. So there, like, the emergency response side of things is fantastic.
Yeah, I think that there's a benefit. Anything that is new technology or anything that is of this world can be go evil or good, right? Like it,
yeah.
And it's not, social media is neither evil or good.
Amoral.
It's amoral. There you go.
I love that term.
It's amoral, but how we use it actually matters, and how we are treating people actually matters. And the Bible really kind of, that's where it really discusses, I think, social media is how we're treating people, how we're puffing ourselves up.
Yeah. It comes back to the heart.
It comes, or how we're using it just to celebrate and to enjoy and to share. The beauty of it is humans are meant to not be alone. And it's one of the ways mm-hmm. that people can be connected from afar. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm glad we live in 2020 and we have some of these really cool resources to talk to each other and communicate with people that are from afar. But with that comes a responsibility. And I think that is really what the scriptures push on, is our responsibility in this is to look carefully, really how we walk and how we talk. And we don't do it as the unwise. We're not going to the battlegrounds when it comes to Facebook. And I really believe that social media is a benefit for humanity in a lot of ways. And I'm thankful for Mark Zuckerberg's brain that came up with that, him and his buddies, I guess, did, not just him.
That's a touchy subject.
That's a touchy subject, yeah. So, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that there are people out there that know how to do that and give us that those resources. But I'm also cautious in how I'm going to use that. For me, and I think for you guys too, is like we just want to try to figure out how do we love people and love God. If you're doing that with social media, awesome. If you're not, I think you have to kind of step back and go, well, how am I, you know, not loving my neighbor as myself type of a concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that self-reflection is huge whenever we're doing things with technology and being able to reflect, hey, am I really valuing other people's opinions and the likes and stuff over celebrating what my God has done in my life and letting my family and friends know about that?
Yeah. If you don't know if you're doing this well, Yeah. Maybe ask your spouse or ask a close friend, you know, hey, you came off a little harsh. You know, sometimes I'll have you guys read an email I'm about to send because I want to make sure it's communicating what my heart is rather than that they're going to perceive it wrong. And so I would just encourage you to have someone else, just like if you're walking out of the house and your wife, Nate, goes, you can't wear that sweater today.
Never happened.
Well, I'll talk to her. He has a lot of Bill Cosby. Sweaters.
But they're so warm. I love those things. But yeah, I do look like Bill Cosby sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, this has been Pearls and Swine. If you want to let us know of a topic to discuss, please do so. And you can email Travis at travis@evangelup.org.
That's where to find me.
Yep. And we'd love to see you come out and join us at Evangel. If you don't have a church home, we're just a group of people who are trying to follow Jesus with all of our hearts. And so we'd invite you to come join us in that.
Yeah, you can come connect with some of those Facebook friends that you've got.
Yeah, 9:30 and 11 every Sunday. We're here.
All right. Take care, guys.